Hey, welcome to Highly Questionable. I got Izzy Gutierrez on one side, Mike Golic Jr. on the other. We got basketball to talk about.
Your t-shirt's going to keep them guessing the whole show, Bo.
That's how it goes. Atlanta know what it is, though.
Are you ready to say the Bucks-Nets series is over?
I mean, I picked the Bucks to win it, so I would prefer not to say that it was over, and I would totally understand if you watched that mollywhopping that took place in Brooklyn on Monday night, why you might want to say that it's over, but it sure seems like there are adjustments that the Bucks can still make, right? Yeah, it looked bad, but my thing about game one was it was such an anomalous outlier performance for them shooting from three that I couldn't really take anything from it. Is it still an outlier performance if it happens two times in a row? Because the wild thing about this is Milwaukee only scored 86 points, but it never felt like Brooklyn was playing some level of incredible defense. Let me tell you what was incredible on defense. You playing against a team that's got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, and you out here running a zone like Budenholzer. I don't know if you've been reading, right? Like, maybe they tell you something different at your job. They gonna fire you if you lose this. Like, do you understand that? Maybe you don't want to work there no more. Maybe that's what it is. But that didn't look like a man that was coaching for his job. That looked like a man that was on 1-2-3 Cancun himself, because the coach didn't seem to do anything to help the players. And look around, man. Your players need a bunch of help.
There was a lot of confusing things there, the way they were defending Brooklyn. It felt like for a minute that Brook Lopez couldn't even stay on the court because they were just defending the pick and rolls so passively and letting Kyrie just walk into his shot most of the time. And look, you had the shooting being poor last time, right? And yes, you thought if they shot a little bit better, they can definitely win a game in Brooklyn and probably, you know, have sort of a blueprint to win the series. But what they followed up with was not just a passive play on defense, but also on offense. Like, you had Giannis pulling up from three, and you had the announcers scratching their head. You had everybody saying, hey, we can get to the rim against this team. They don't have rim protectors, and you weren't doing that anyway. And who had Mike James being more important to his team than PJ Tucker, for example? Who had Chris Middleton sort of just shrinking and only being confident against the Miami Heat, apparently? Nobody really had these things. Who had Blake Griffin just being able to defend Giannis? This isn't even a Kyrie and KD thing. This is all of the Bucks shrinking right in front of us.
Yeah, listen, as a proud former role player, this is kind of how it goes, though, because the tip of the spear sets the tone for you. And when you've got their stars in Kevin Durant giving Giannis Antetokounmpo the business when he's got him one-on-one on defense, when you go down to the other side and Giannis is not able to go and one-on-one take Blake Griffin in the spots where they need it to, everyone starts looking around, especially for this team who has gone through what they had the last 2 years. And that here we go again feeling is really hard to overcome when your stars don't want to set the tone very early in that game. Because on the other side, that Brooklyn Nets team came in, yes, down James Harden, but at least with clarity. They've lived this life 1,000 times already this year with one of these guys out of the lineup. And so they know immediately how to get back into the plan that they do. And when you have those guys and Kyrie and KD set the tone the way they did shooting in the first quarter, the rest of the team looks around and goes, whew, all right, my job just got a lot easier. So you get the Mike James of the world that all of a sudden feel like I can go play with the kind of house money that has you leading by 49 during some points in the game.
And Izzy, you hit on something. The idea of Blake Griffin guarding Giannis, except the thing was he was guarding him by not guarding him. It was damning that they basically treated him like the Warriors treated Tony Allen in those series. And we're like, look, you got all the space in the world. And it was shocking because one thing about Giannis is he's a big dude who does little dude things, but does them like a big dude. Like, it's not like this guy is averse to contact or anything else. Put your back on Blake Griffin. At his best, he couldn't guard anybody. He sure can't guard you now because the only chance they have is getting into the paint. In game one, they scored 70 points in the paint. In game two, they scored 86 points in the whole damn game.
And let's talk about Giannis for a second, shall we? Because a series ago, we were lauding Mike Budenholzer for taking the ball out of his hands and letting other people create and letting him be a finisher, letting him be a threat near the box, you know, in the rim there. But now, all of a sudden, when you realize that, oh, Chris Middleton isn't going to step up, and who's next on that list of, okay, Drew Holiday, he kind of did his thing, but everybody's looking around like there's nobody else there. All of a sudden, if Giannis isn't dominating the game and Chris Middleton isn't performing, then you look at the rest of that roster and say, not that good. Like, Brent Forbes is going to have to hit like 6 or 7 threes for him to be that level of an impact player. So Giannis is leaving a lot to be desired, especially when you see him on the free throw line. He looks scared. Obviously, when he's pulling up for threes, when he shouldn't, it would appear that he doesn't want to get fouled because he's leaving them well short. This team is a mess, and it's probably because Giannis still doesn't know where and how he needs to dominate offensively.
Did seeing a healthy Chris Paul change how you view the Suns?
Oh, man, this was a game until it wasn't, right? Like, it was a one-point game at halftime. Denver was up. They even went up 9 in the third quarter. And the Suns won the game by 17 points. Big deal in this one. Chris Paul shooting from outside of the paint. It's almost like he went and got himself a new arm. And if he can play, if he's going to be physically able to withstand this, then the Suns are going to be really, really, really hard to beat. That being said, if I'm Denver, I'm still kind of encouraged here because Aaron Gordon, they didn't seem to have anything for him. Like, if they're getting something out of him and you got Porter and you got Jokic, you still got a chance to win just about every game. But it's still going to be Chris Paul on one side and that Campazzo dude that I had never heard of until a couple weeks ago on the other. No disrespect to him, but if I'm starting the sentence with, I had never heard of you until last week, I ain't picking you in the matchup.
That was kind of how I felt in a certain way about the matchup we'd see between Jokic and Ayton. But DeAndre Ayton's really been the swing state for the Suns so far through this playoff run. I went into the series against the Lakers saying, all right, that matchup with Anthony Davis seems like an L. We knew that one was changed by Anthony Davis's health pretty early in that series. But minute for minute, word for word, bar for bar in that game last night, DeAndre Ayton went out and production-wise was very much the equal of Nikola Jokic in ways that I didn't think I could count on. But now as we get deeper and deeper into the postseason, like we said about the shooting for the Brooklyn Nets from three, maybe it's starting to get to a place where DeAndre Ayton is just finding himself amidst this playoff run. And that's a huge boost for a Suns team that I didn't think was going to be able to count on that kind of production, both offensively and what he was able to do closing out on shots defensively for them in key moments.
When you just measure up the backcourts, you're talking about Chris Paul and Devin Booker against Campazzo and Austin Rivers. Austin Rivers famously on his couch a couple of months ago, and Campazzo, who I'm pretty sure I called European on this show a couple of weeks ago, and nobody corrected me, because, even though he's Argentinian. So clearly there's a mismatch there. And I think what needs to happen is, and I think what's going to happen is, you're going to just see more out of Jokic. He had a little bit of a feeling out feel to him in this game, and he had a couple of shots that he thought he should have made and didn't. And maybe things swing a little bit differently in that scenario. But it's got to be him, it's got to be Aaron Gordon, and it's got to be Porter Jr., because when you have that level of mismatch in the backcourt, you can't rely on those guys. You also cannot allow Mikal Bridges to go off. He is a very reliable role player, but he can't be a guy that hits a bunch of threes and controls the game for a little bit for you. So I think Denver has more to figure out. It's a little bit like game one against the Blazers, but it didn't look very good if this is just the weakest version of Chris Paul we're going to get. If he's going to get better as this series goes along, it might be pretty tough for the Nuggets.
Now, I will correct you on Argentine. It's not Argentinian, yeah, things I learned living in Miami. It is, in fact, Argentine. And I was so excited about that correction that I forgot the other thing that I was going to say. But I assure you, it was going to be like a real thing. It was going to be cracking. I just wanted to make sure that Izzy, I didn't want Izzy to feel like we wasn't going to correct him again. We wasn't going to let that happen twice.
Up next on HQ.
Meek Mill, I'm trying not to be too judgmental of him because the dude did help him get out of jail. I could understand you being appreciative. And maybe Jay-Z, did you put any money in on this or did you just sign the card? Because I would just sign the card because ain't no way in the world I'm giving Bob Kraft a damn thing. He got it. Cubs fans have learned it will probably be better for them to not blame the person who didn't catch the foul ball or interfere with the foul ball being caught. They need to just kind of deal with reality and stop pointing fingers.
A growth mindset from them.
That is not fair. You do not get away with E3 because of Bartman.
Do you question if this was a heartwarming moment?
All right, so Michael Rubin, he is a minority governor, I guess that's what they call him now in the NBA. He owned a piece of the Sixers. He's cool with Meek Mill and he's cool with Jay-Z. And he introduced Meek Mill to Bob Kraft. And Meek Mill was trying to get out of jail. And it's Bob Kraft's 80th birthday. And so they got him something he had been dreaming of.
We knew you wouldn't get it yourself. You know, you went all in for this house. So we thought it was going to be tough for you. We thought we were getting the car that you were looking at.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
Are you
That's exactly what.
This came from Meek and Jay and Will and Alan and Des.
Oh, and my Jonathan.
God, that's exact. How the fudge did you get it?
Here's your.
Oh, are you kidding?
It's a Bentley. Oh,
this was.
I wanted to get something new you wouldn't get yourself.
We got him something he knew he wouldn't get himself. Then that must mean he don't really want it. It ain't like he can't afford it. I'm sorry. Look, Meek Mill, I'm trying not to be too judgmental of him because the dude did help him get out of jail. I can understand you being appreciative. And maybe Jay-Z, did you put any money in on this or did you just sign the card? Because I would just sign the card because ain't no way in the world I'm giving Bob Kraft a damn thing. He got it.
Oh, Bob Kraft said in the video, how did you get it? They didn't have any more. And now you're reading in the card that says something you wouldn't have gotten yourself. Yes, he would have gotten himself. He said it himself. He said it. He would have gotten it if they had it. I don't understand it. I feel like my heart got a little bit colder.
I'm not going to lie. The heartwarming part for me was they went through all that trouble to get this rich billionaire man a Bentley, but they did take the time to hand make a very large card here. Like, I feel like we're underrating the fact that they went through and with large markers built out this entire card and got everyone to sign it, which is a dying art form in 2021. So that part of it actually is kind of sweet.
Let me find out that in his free time, Jay-Z makes homemade greeting cards. That would be an interesting thing to learn about him ultimately. I find it highly unlikely, right? But it would be kind of neat.
Do you question who deserves more credit for this home run, Manny Machado or Anthony Rizzo?
All right, we are going to Cubs Padres. First up, here's Machado at the plate. Going to hit a foul ball. There's Rizzo. Overran it just a touch. You know how this is going to end. Next pitch.
Wow.
The other way, no less.
Ah. You allowed to laugh there if you're Rizzo?
Hold on. That wasn't even close to a strike. Can you run that again? Like, look at where the box is and they put it on TV. Look where the ball is. Now, yes. I'm not even going to blame Rizzo for this one. Like, this is something that should never happen.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Bomani on this one. The fact that the first thing I thought of was the Shohei Ohtani home run that we showed from a while ago, where he clipped it from like 4.5 feet up. And I thought, all right, this is something relatively Ohtanian. Tells me that this is nobody else's fault, that you just did something pretty awesome.
What do you mean you don't blame Rizzo there? Like, you got to catch that ball, and you definitely can't laugh it off when the dude hits the very next pitch by his eyes over the wall.
I mean, it would be helpful if Rizzo caught the ball, obviously, but the dude just pulled off something superhuman in making this work in the first place. And Cubs fans have learned it will probably be better for them to not blame the person who didn't catch the foul ball or interfere with the foul ball being caught. They need to just kind of deal with reality and stop pointing fingers.
It's a growth mindset from them.
That is not fair. You do not get away with E3 because of Bartman.
I feel like the only thing you can do is laugh it off. Is you either got to do two things in that spot: grab a hamstring or start laughing. Those are the only two appropriate responses.
Or I would like act like something was in my eye, right? Like after just go back to first base, like.
Just making sure everybody knows. Hey, there was something here. Couldn't really
blame one eye, guys.
Let's keep going.
Up next on HQ.
I do enjoy the rest of the Hawks trying to pay catch up on trying to be swaggy and defiant the way we've seen from Trae Young and it not necessarily working so far.
Hey, hold on though, man. We don't know nothing about Bogdanovich, where he come from, he stand for, man. Like, you never know. It might have been like this all the time. When the last time you watched the Hawks?
I've got a 5-year-old nephew who every time he points at the screen when he's playing video games, he closes one eye because he wants to kind of focus in a little bit more. That's just focusing in a little bit more. It's not doing it with your eyes closed. It's one eye closed. Like, if Michael Jordan shot a free throw with one eye closed, would you be that impressed? Not really.
Tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Game 2, Hawks and 76ers.
You know, Bogdan Bogdanovich, you may recall, kind of sort of was supposed to be a Milwaukee Buck until some word got out about a deal that was consummated a little bit too soon. And now he's doing things like this for the Hawks, stopping them from wetting their pants. See how close they were? Lemon booty was everywhere. There was a bucket. And then he almost poked himself in the face trying to shush him.
Wait, you gotta see it. Yo,
the best part is at that angle, it looks like he's telling the referee to be quiet. Izzy, are you intrigued?
Absolutely intrigued. This is the season for the Sixers, I believe. If they can sort of muster up some toughness and really dominate this Hawks team, they might be a favorite again in the Eastern Conference. But that Nets team does not look like it's going to be scared by anybody. So the Sixers really need to come through.
Mike, you intrigued?
Yeah, I am intrigued. This feels like a continuation, if you're a Sixers fan, hopefully, of what you saw in that fourth quarter where it did get awfully tight because your team remembered, oh, wait, we're bigger, faster, stronger than these dudes, and we can go out there and make them feel it like that. I do enjoy the rest of the Hawks trying to pay catch up on trying to be swaggy and defiant the way we've seen from Trae Young and it not necessarily working so far.
Hey, hold on, though, man. We don't know nothing about Bogdanovich, where he come from, he stand for, man. Like, you never know. It might have been like this all the time. We don't – when the last time you watched the Hawks?
Fair point.
Tonight at 7:05 p.m. Eastern, Braves and Phillies.
Apropos of nothing, I grew up a Braves fan, and I've never hated a baseball team more than the 1993 Philadelphia Phillies. Anyway, we're going to get a look here at Trevor Bauer. He has, you know, well, he struck out Ronald Acuna, but listen to what he says about it in this video blog.
Mark my words, vlog. I will punch out Ronald Acuna this year with one eye closed.
And there are times when you get on that's what he said. The signs that they're using. Here he is. Acuna down on strikes. There he goes. And some guys were like, yes, I want to know every single time. I do have to say, like, I guess good for him that he did pull that off with an eye closed. But did he not throw that right down the pipe? Like that I feel like was not the way that he was intending for that to go. Izzy, you intrigued?
Did he say listen up vlog? Like he's talking to the vlog? Look. I'm a Trevor Bauer fan. I like sort of bringing a different twist into baseball, but is this really that impressive? Look, I've got a 5-year-old nephew who every time he points at the screen when he's playing video games, he closes one eye because he wants to kind of focus in a little bit more. That's just focusing in a little bit more. It's not doing it with your eyes closed. It's one eye closed. Like if Michael Jordan shot a free throw with one eye closed, would you be that impressed? Not really.
Izzy, throwing a baseball, looking at a telescope. What's the difference? Mike, you intrigued?
Yeah, I am intrigued on this one. Yeah, Trevor Bauer sort of has been this voice of reason on certain issues when it comes to modernizing the way we play baseball. But this is a reminder of the uphill battle the sport has because trying to stunt and do cool stuff when you are a pitcher especially is awfully difficult because this in theory sounds great. And like Bomani pointed out, in practice, doesn't really seem that cool.
Also, don't forget, like, right or wrong, people don't like him. You know what I mean? Like, this sort of thing would seem a lot cooler if he was a little cooler. Yeah.
You know what I bet is Ronald Acuna Jr. will do something way cooler next time he hits a home run off of him.
Yeah, I tell you what, it won't involve closing one of his eyes.
Right, he's not going to go like this.
That ball moved fast.
Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, Game 1, Clippers and Jazz.
Oh, yeah, I am looking forward to this one because I don't hate the Clippers like apparently the rest of America does. So I can just be intrigued by the idea of this basically two-man team against the team. Anyway, the producers have told us that they have got a collage or something like that. They put something together of the most interesting thing that you will see from the first round series that the Jazz played against the Grizzlies. Oh.
Oh.
There it is.
Oh,
I mean, honestly, like if we could separate it from the bad stuff, the most interesting thing about that series was Ja Morant's daddy. I found him to be a hoot. So fortunate that somebody in the arena had to mess it up for everybody, but the rest of the fans seemed to enjoy him too. Izzy, are you intrigued?
And can I remind you, if not for the play-in tournament, we would have gotten at least 4 games of Steph Curry instead of that. And I'm pretty sure that would have been slightly more entertaining. But I am very much intrigued because if you look at the Jazz, if you think, what do we need to do to stop that ball movement and stop them from getting open threes? Don't help. Be able to defend one-on-one or be able to defend the pick and rolls effectively well so you don't have to collapse. I think the Clippers are capable of doing that, especially when you consider Kawhi Leonard and Paul George being two of the league's primary wing defenders there, being able to stop a Donovan Mitchell or a Mike Conley. So I'm very much intrigued if Utah can get these shots off they've been getting off all year long, because if not, this is the Clippers series and they're actually going to make it to a conference final? What?
I wouldn't say that out loud. Mike, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. And it's not that, listen, I don't hate the Clippers. I don't want to get lumped in with that. I just think it's really entertaining that we are approaching a point where Kawhi Leonard was so good at the end of the last series that we might actually trust the Clippers, because we're looking around the rest of this postseason right now, especially in the Western Conference, not sure of anything at this point. So Kawhi Leonard, who helped single-handedly almost lift the Toronto Raptors to a championship, might do the impossible. Make people trust the Clippers and trust the team with Paul George on at the postseason.
Look, the last 37 seasons, 11 franchises won championships. None of those franchises made it past the first round of the playoffs this year. All right, that is our show. Check out Easy Gutierrez all over ESPN in various fashions. Mike Golic Jr. on Chanae and Golic, 4 to 7 Eastern, ESPN Radio.
The Right Time with Bomani Jones, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, you got the point right.
I didn't.
He's evolving.